Hello, friends. It's time now for another Back Home broadcast here on good old WPAQ. We hope and trust the broadcast will be a blessing to you. The program is under direction of Dr. Carl Lackey, pastor of the White Plains Baptist Church. And now, here's that old-time preacher man, Dr. Carl Lackey.
Thank you, and hello, friends. We're mighty glad to be here today for the broadcast. We trust will be a blessing to your heart.
Carl Theodore Lackey was born February the 16th, 1915, to Mr. and Mrs. John Theodore and Minnie Hoyle Lackey. Graduated June the 13th, 1993. God left him here with us 78 years, 3 months and 28 days. Preceded in death by his wife, Jewel, May the 4th, 1987. Survived by his brother, Wesley Taylor, one brother, several nieces, nephews, and a host of friends. I'd like to say on behalf of the family, we appreciate all the flowers, all the food, all the cards, all the visits that everybody's made. We here in Christian land, we have Christian funerals. There's 3 reasons. One, to honor the dead. To give comfort to the living and bring honor to God. Amen. Amen. I want them to come sing for us this time.
We, the members of White Plains Baptist Church and friends and family of Preacher Lackey, many years ago have gotten on board the old ship of Zion. We've been sailing on that old ship of Zion for many a year o'er life's troubled seas, and one of these days it's gonna sail into Hallelujah Harbor and drop the anchor just off the shores of Glory Land. And I believe when the gangplank lets down and the members of White Plains Baptist Church start to walk down the gangplank toward the streets of gold, that our dear old preacher will be standing there with a King James Bible in his hand, saying, "Welcome home." And I'm looking forward to that day. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore.
I've read of a city John saw coming down from God out of heaven. The walls are of jasper, the gates are of pearl, and the streets are pure gold. He tells of a pure river of life that flows from the throne. And when we have reached that beautiful place, we'll know as we're known.
Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river where loved ones dwell who've gone on before.
If you leave here first, just wait by the river.
If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me.
So let's meet by the river
over on that beautiful shore.
If you leave me standing here on this earth, just wait by the river. It's such a good place for us to meet over there. And after I find you, let's go see Jesus. Then let's go find my dear old preacher. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Well, let's meet by the river where loved ones dwell who've gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river.
If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me.
So let's meet by the river
over on that beautiful shore.
Let's meet by the river
over on that beautiful shore.
Amen, Brother John. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's going to be a day when we meet over there. It's going to be a day when we meet over there. You know, the Bible tells us in the Word of God, does in Psalms 116 and verses 15. God says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I got to reading that and I got to thinking about that. Just what made preacher, you say, Dr. Lackey, well, he is always preacher to me. What made him so precious in the sight of God? I got to thinking about that, and I've been around here about 23 years. I know the preacher. Preacher wasn't only a pastor to me. Preacher was a friend of mine too. He taught me how to raise my family. Taught me a lot of things. But the preacher was precious in the sight of God for his love for the Lord. Preacher forsook all of his family, all of his friends, even forsook his wife to do a work for God. I had the privilege to stay with the preacher for about 14 months every Thursday night, up to about 2.5 years ago. Preacher told me a lot of things that he'd done. He said, you know, I'd like to be in with Jewel. But one of these days, he said, let's just have to go on home and be with her. He said, one of these days, I want to sit down and talk about it. The preacher and I had done a lot of traveling back together back in them days. I'd go with him. After God called me to preach, I'd go with him to revivals on Saturdays. He'd carry me maybe on Friday night. I'd go with him just to see how he conducted them, see what he did. Always a blessing to be with him. He'd carry us. A lot of times he'd... Nobody, just he and I, we'd talk a lot. I'd ask the preacher a lot of questions. You see, I didn't get saved when I was 31 years old. Nobody cared for me. So he and Miss Lackey, they cared for us. They loved us. He's precious in the sight of God because he forsook all to follow him. He was gone a lot of nights, gone a lot of times in revival when he could have been with his family, with his wife. But he wasn't. He was out trying to win souls. So I believe a preacher is really precious in the sight of God for his love for God. Not only that, I believe preacher was precious in the sight of God for his love for his church. His preacher loved his church. He gave 45 years of his life for White Plains Baptist Church. He loved these people here. He would drive, as I said, we'd go out on Saturday night, and we'd go out to different churches and everything. I'd see him drive, it'd be 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, get back here. Sometimes been high as 5 o'clock in the morning. He said, you should be at your church on Sunday morning. He lived for this church. Preacher believed that the church was the bride of Christ. I believe that's why that he was so precious in the sight of God. Preacher believed that the church was the bride of Christ. You know, the preachers filled up most churches around here. Preachers filled up most churches around here. All y'all preachers know the preacher, know what I'm talking about. A lot of people wouldn't have the people around here. They'd say, well, go out and get so-and-so. This is your kind, Brother Carl. He'd go out and he'd get them. He'd want them to Lord him as lackey. He'd want them to Lord. They'd get them here and they'd get them. God would start blessing these people. Then all of a sudden they felt led to go somewhere else. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I know what I'm talking about. I've been around here. They felt led to go somewhere else. They forsook the one that really went out, had a burden for them, prayed for them, and cared for them, and went off to do other things. I've seen some of them, Brother Green, stand right here at this microphone and tell how good they love their church, how good they love their preacher, and what he's going to do. And just quick as the preacher gets sick, gets down, so that he can't do nothing for his church, walk off and forsake him. Preacher loved his church. Preacher loved his church. I believe that's why that he's in a sign of God. He loved his church. Fill up most churches around here. A lot of people wouldn't have nothing to do with him. I know I had one preacher tell me one night, I said, you can't preach like Brother Carl Lackey. No, I know he can't. He didn't have the power of God on his life that Carl Lackey had. That's why that Dr. Carl Lackey, Preacher Lackey, could get up and preach against sin, against anything else. He had the power of God upon his life, and he could preach it and get by with it. Why these others can't, they didn't have the power of God upon their lives. Amen. Been criticized by everybody in the country. I know when I got saved, it was January 21st, 1970. Run the service station right down here at 60152. A lot of preachers wouldn't come by and even speak to somebody that worked at a service station. That was too low of a caliber person for them. They had to get somebody with some prestige or something like that. I wish Lackey should come by every day. Come by every day, she'd say, the Lord loves you. We'd like to see you in church. We're praying for you. I want you to come. Brother Bob Femmes and I sitting last night talking about it. Brother Bob said, said they were the type of people to come after people like us. A lot of people wouldn't. This was the kind of people they were, people. He loved his church. He wanted us to mount something for God. Preacher wanted us to do something for God. He didn't care who it was. I know Miss Lackey and I, we even run a lot of times together. We'd run a bus route. Preacher got me on a bus route. I said, oh, I'm not going to drive a bus route. But his prayers... Spirit of God put me on the bus route. I drove one for 23 years. Miss Lackey and I'd be riding bus routes, and I've seen old buses just lock up. We'd have big drives. Preacher would get out and push. Let's have a big drive and get a bunch on there. I've seen old buses. We didn't have nothing buses much to get by with. They'd lock up the transmission, all like that. I'd watch her bow her head and reach up and get over the stick, and he'd come out. God answer her prayer on the spot. This is why they're so precious. They're so precious in the sight of God. Brother West, these people have done something for us. They picked us up and carried us somewhere. Taught us something. You know, when I got saved, I believed what the preacher said. I believed the old book. When he'd get up and preach, hey, it's a sin to do this, I'd say it's a sin to do that. God let us raise our 7 children right here in this church. We didn't go home and talk about the preacher. We believe what he said. You know what? Today, my kids out here, they got kids here. I got grandchildren here. My children still believe that the preacher told the truth. They still believe the book. He loved his church. He loved his church. He gave his life for it. Last Sunday, a week ago, the last word that the preacher spoke to me, The last word he spoke to me, I come by to see him Sunday morning before I start up here to Sunday school. I said, "Preacher," I said, "is there anything you want me to tell him?" I do that about every service. He said, "Bill," said, "go up there and tell him to get busy." He said, "and go tell him to go out and win a soul tomorrow." It's the last word he spoke to me. I seen him down in the hospital. He didn't talk to me down there. He said, "tell him to go win a soul tomorrow." He loved his church. I believe that's why that God, he's so precious in God's sight. Not only that, the preacher loved the lost. It didn't make no difference who they was, what caliber they were, or whatever. If they were lost, the preacher would go get them. It didn't make no difference if he was drunk, if he was a harlot, or whatever they were, the preacher would go get them. He'd go pull them out from under stumps and everything else. We was talking the other day, and now we got a book out on his life. We was talking the other day about it, and you know how that a lot of people want church. And we got a picture made years and years ago up here at this old church. And you know what kind of people he had there? Little boys and girls about this high. Boy, he was really after the money, wasn't he? Little boys and girls about this high. No, he was after souls. I know this man right here took more persecution than any 10 preachers in the world. God said he is precious in his sight. He loves sinners. He run these old buses out here when it was a burden to him. I've even seen him when he would try to do things to keep the buses going, work every way he could. I had a lot of fellowship with the preacher. We done a lot of traveling together. The preacher done everything he laid his power to keep these buses going, keep people knocking on doors of serving God. He wants these little children to come in and get saved. The preacher had he had love for the lost. He loved the school so much out here that he just about gave his life for it. He worked out here for this school. He worked for this school. He loved this school. He done every way he could to get out and raise money for the school and everything he could to support it. Say, why did he do that? Because he knew that the place he was in, that the people didn't have the money to do it. He cared about their little souls. Preacher's precious in the sight of God. And all that, preachers, I believe he's precious in the sight of God for his love for preachers. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Bill? This man right here loved preachers. And I guarantee I could stand around and call on hundreds of over here today and say, yeah, he did. He started this little college out here for one reason. He wanted to teach us what to do when we got out there. I've heard him stand, Brother Green, out here behind this pulpit many, many times. He'd say, boys, he said, or does he stay here for 10 years and serve God, and then to go out there and learn something and go out and do 1 year for God, then to go out there and mess your life up. See, the preacher had wisdom. He had a vision that a lot of people didn't have. He knew one thing, that if I got out there, Brother Wesley, and I got out there and I can mess my life up in 1 year until my testimony will be run forever, but he wanted me to stay here and work, knock on doors on the bus route, prove myself, and prove I knew something about this book. Preacher's precious because he loved preachers. I know that 1 year that we all got ready, he was wanting to carry us all to Israel. Preacher wanted to carry us to Israel. We didn't have no money to go on. I'm not the only one. There's several of them sitting in here right today. I could have them stand. Sitting here today. You know what he did? He got out. He preached revivals and raised some money to carry the preachers out of his church to Israel. Brother Green, you was with us. Brother Esther Perkle was with us. Brother Tim, you was with us. He only did that. He brought us up here and raised enough money for us to have spending money. Preacher loved preachers. That's why he started his college out here. He got us out there and he taught us something. He told me one time, he said, Bill, he said, if you fail, it's my fault. He said, I failed to teach you what you needed. He kept us in there. He loved us. He cared for us. He's precious in the sight of the Lord today. I know that he's up there today. He's up there. He's just shouting all over glory. I know Baby Jan's up there shouting all over glory. I've heard him talk about her. I know Mrs. Lackey's up there. I know Brother Paul Black's up there. Brother Dick, he's up there. Big Marsh, he's up there. He's got a mother up there. I heard him tell about that, how he took her down here to the old river and baptized her. He's got a mother up there. I believe the most of all is one that Brother West is talking about the other day up there, the old crippled boy that come by and led him to the Lord. Boy, you look at the dividends he's pulling today. Look at the dividends he's pulling today. Brother West is down at the hospital. We got to talk about it. And I tell you what, I guess the hospital thinks we're all crazy, but who cares? Who cares? We're in a Christian land. We do it a Christian way. Old Brother West said the crippled boy just got over. His mouth got around like that. All blocks to win this man to God. Look at the fruit he's done today. People, our pastor loved us.
We need to count on the work for him. Need to count on the work for him. I know a lot of times a preacher, you know, he didn't get no pay out of it here. He didn't get no pay out of a lot of things he did here. He was always giving, always trying to do something for his people. You say, well, he fared real good. Yes, God blessed him. But I know I'm a businessman. I know what I'm talking about. It's the caliber of man that this man was. If he'd have got in business, this man could have made billions of dollars. I know the caliber of man he was. But he loved us. He came to serve White Plains Baptist Church for 45 years. You say he's a servant to us? Yes, he's a servant to us. And he's precious in the sight of God. But one of these days, one of these days, Brother Tim, it's going to be payday someday. It's going to be payday someday. May not be here, but someday it's payday, and he's getting it now. I believe you're standing there right now. I believe you're standing up and getting it. And you know, we had 3 saved here Sunday morning. We had 8 saved last week. We had 3 saved Sunday morning. I told him here Sunday morning when he came in and told me the preacher done and graduated. I said, well, I said, the Lord told him, just wait a minute. Let me add these to your dividends. Let me add these to your dividends. Because of him. It's precious in the sight of the Lord. Come sing, sister.
I want to say that it's a privilege to know him, to work with him. And most of the time he didn't call me by my first name. He always just called me by my married name, Dilp. We were sitting back there and crying, and I told her, I said, I can just almost hear him saying, Dilp. Now you get up here and you sing. Used to travel around the country with him, go to the radio station with him. I can just almost hear him saying, Dilp, you get up here and you do your best. And you know, that's what I want to do. I want to stay right here. It's where God brought me. And I want to continue to fight here and do what I can to win souls for Jesus like the preacher did. I loved him. I didn't worship him and I didn't follow him. Everywhere I've ever went, I've always, me and my husband both tried to follow God, not follow a man. But I loved him. He was always good and kind to us. He loved my children. They loved him. And I believe he loved me. And I can just hear him saying right now, Delp, you get up and you do your best. That's what I want to do.
Let us work for Jesus every day. Help sinful souls to find the way. That's gonna be a payday someday. Many souls are lost in deep despair. With them all the love of Jesus we must share. There's gonna be a payday someday. There's gonna be a payday someday. For all who have been true, there's gonna be a payday someday. For all the work we do, if we work for Christ our Lord, we'll receive a just reward. There's gonna be a payday someday. There are crosses that we all must bear. Heaven will be great when we get there. There's gonna be a payday someday. We cannot compare the cost we pay to the joy that waits us on that day. There's gonna be a payday someday. There's gonna be a payday someday. For all who have been true, there's gonna be a payday someday. For all the work we do, if we work for Christ our Lord, we'll receive a just reward. There's gonna be a payday someday. There's gonna be a payday someday. For all who have been true, there's gonna be a payday someday. For all the work we do,
If we work for Christ our Lord, we'll receive a just reward. There's gonna be a payday someday.
I like to thank the Lord for saving me. A whole lot of y'all people probably don't know who I am. I'm just a little old. I've been going to this church for 32 years, and that's how old I am. Preacher come by, a little old piece of bubble gum. He's done that to a whole lot of us. He loved kids. He loved to speak. I come in just going in and stay with him. He said, "Boy, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing peace." And you know what I'm talking about. I said, "Preacher, I ain't." And he said, "You got time." I said, "I know what you're talking about, preacher. But you know, I just won't tell some, you know, some of the men that stayed with him. Hey, you're gonna get a reward for it." Amen. Hey, I believe. All, I was sitting back there last night talking to Brother Jim Green. I said, "Well, I wonder what he's doing now." I said, "Here I am crying. I'm missing him." And I said, "Wonder what he's doing now. He's having time of his life." I said, "I guess the only reason I'm crying is because I'm going to miss him. He's better off." But boy, he was a real friend of mine. I'm going to try to sing his song. It's one of his favorites. He always, when he go to a meeting, was down at Roscoe's. When Roscoe's down in Florida, he used to call me Fat Boy. He said, "Fat Boy," I said, "you come on up here." I said, you sing your song." I said, "All right, preacher." But I just want to tell David Horton, a bunch of y'all, hey, fellas, you're going to get a reward. And hey, he's looking down there. He's saying thank you for all them clean shades and stuff. That's, you know, I'm going to miss him, but he's a whole lot better off. Y'all pray for him.
One day as I was thinking of unseen things above, the Spirit came unto me and filled my heart with love. Now I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die. Some say give me silver, some say give me gold, but I say give me Jesus with glory in my soul. Now I'm gonna die on the battlefield, I'm gonna die in war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I used to know some people who walked and talked with me, but since I've been converted, they've turned their backs on me. For I'm gonna die on the battlefield, I'm gonna die in war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Now give me the gospel trumpet and I'll sound it wherever I can. I'll take it home to Jesus over in the promised land. For I'm gonna die on the battlefield, I'm gonna die in war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul.
Bless you, David.
Amen, Brother Green. Yes.
wonderful, wasn't it? All of these songs and all these comments. Somehow or other, I feel that if I was attempting to dam up the mighty Mississippi River with a wheelbarrow of sand, or if I was to attempt to put the Pacific Ocean into a thimble, or if I was to take a BB gun and attempt to shoot out the stars out of the sky, you'd say, "Don Green, you're a fool." Yet if somehow or other we could think that in 1 hour we could stand on this platform and somehow sum up the life of Carl Lackey to being such a great man, we'd be a fool too. If an angel from heaven was to deliver the message today, if he'd try to do it in 1 hour, we'd all leave here disappointed in that he'd only touched the hem of the garment of such a great man as Carl Theodore Lackey. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was another man sent from God, his name was Carl Lackey. I say, like John the Baptist, he was sent from God. He was like Noah, a great builder. These buildings were in the heart and in the head and in the hands of this great man. He's like Moses. He was a leader. He was a 5-star general. He knew how to direct people. He's like Elijah. He was a great man of prayer. He was like Abraham. He was a friend of God. He was like Daniel, for he was a man of purpose. No defilement. I never heard of any scandalous things about him, whether it was money or maidens or modernism. I always felt safe with my wife around him, always felt safe with my daughter around him, or if it was my mother, I always felt safe around this man. I say he was like Daniel, he was a man of purpose. He was like Ezekiel, a man of vision. He saw things that nobody else ever did see. He had tremendous insight on the work of God. Tremendous discernment. I've been with him all over the world. He could walk into a situation and size it up in a minute. It would take me 2 or 3 days to figure it out. He had great understanding of the Bible and of spiritual and doctrinal truths. He was like Ezekiel. He was like Elijah in a lot of ways. He was a fearless preacher. He was dynamic, to say the least. He was a powerful preacher, an uncompromising, unusual, unmovable, uninhibited, whether it be the devil himself or the demons of hell or dignitaries to make any difference to him. It seems that he was unequaled. He was unforgettable and unorthodox. That's an understatement. He's Karl Ackee. He was just one of a kind. He was God's man, just like Ezekiel. He is like the Apostle John, however, too. He had that love. And he is like Paul. He had knowledge of the grace of God and the gospel of God. And he knew how to present it. I'm about 14 years younger than him. But we became so closely related, so kind, so gracious was this man to me. I was attracted to him. And we became really bosom buddies, traveled the world together, and preached in conferences and camp meetings, and preached here, and he's preached for me. We've been so close. This man was the most unique preacher I'd ever met in my life. I'd spend hours. I got up 4:45 this morning to get ready. I've been working on this message for, probably put 25 hours into it. You say, but Carl, bless his heart, he could get up and preach. Preach! Extemporaneously is better than I could ever do it in 25 hours of practice. He just was a preacher. And I mean, he didn't get up and blow air, he got up and said something. I mean, he was a preacher. He was a great preacher. Carl was like the Apostle Paul. He was an apostle. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. He was an apostle to the Appalachia. And you know that he was. And everywhere else, too. Dr. Lackey is a legend, never to be forgotten. And I'm sure that the magnitude of this man's life will never be known here on earth. The memory of what he has accomplished will never be forgotten. The manner of his preaching style, the mantle of the power of God that was upon him, the message that he preached, the ministry he had, and the multitudes of people that were converted to Christ under his ministry. He surely is a legend. He majored in winning souls. He majored in people walking right and doing right. He majored in the warfare with the devil. He majored in watching over his congregation. He majored in warning the careless. And he majored in the work of the Lord. That's all he had in his head and his mind. And the worth of a soul. He was a slave. He was a bond slave to Jesus Christ. He was a servant. Actually, his name, his last name being Lackey. If you look it up in the Webster Dictionary, the word lackey is there. It means a servant. It's one who runs errands, like a lackey boy, like an errand boy. Footboy, a footman. He was a servile follower, an errand runner for God. A true lackey, servant. He was a good steward of God's money. He knew how to handle money, and you laughed, every one of you have to say that. He knew how to get it, too. He was a soldier. I mean, he was a soldier that was valiant in battle. He was saved, separated, and sanctified vessel of God. I say that he was a man sent from God. He was a man that was faithful and fearless and fruitful and forthright and faithful. He was a man sent from God. I think about Brother Lackey, my dearest friend, preacher friend. I've got a lot of friends in the Lord's work, but this was my most precious friend. There's a verse that kept coming to my mind. One day he took me into the bedroom at my home there in Lansing when he was preaching for me, and he said, I want to talk to you just for a minute. And he shut the door and he said, he began to cry, and he said, now Don, I don't know when I'm going to die. His wife was still living. He said, I've already discussed it with my wife. I want you to preach my funeral. This must have been 10 years ago. And so here it is, this day, almost 10 years since he told me. And I'm standing here in this great church preaching the funeral of my dearest friend. But I've thought about a message for 10 years. What would you preach at a man's funeral as great as this man? I thought of a verse of scripture in the book of Acts. Peter had been doing great preaching and great power and healing, and all sorts of things were being done by the hand and power of this great apostle Peter. And it said that at least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. They were so anxious to get near to Peter that even the shadow that would be cast by the sun's rays and would bring healing and power and victory in their lives. There is, and there was, in Peter's life, the power of influence. And there was power in this man's life, power of his influence. And everywhere that Karalaki's shadow cast, people were affected by his presence. Everybody in this world, I suppose, most of you, or everybody, has a hero. People whose lives have overshadowed your life, who have influenced you in doing something noble and right and good and wholesome. Well, his life cast his shadow, and he became my hero. It cast a big shadow of influence on all of our lives. He's been one of my heroes for a long time. And just why in the world shouldn't he be? He opened my eyes, literally opened my eyes, to the need of straightforward preaching. I've been always kind of preaching around everything, but when I got to listen to this man and saw the effect of just coming right down straight barrel, gun barrel straight, I was sitting in my office one day, and somehow or other the Spirit of God came upon me what route you need to take. And it was there, under the influence of Karalaki, that I got a divorce from public opinion. And started preaching. Some of you probably listen to me preach and you can understand, and maybe it'd be clear to you why I preach like I do. It's because of the shadow of this man. And not only that, but he opened doors for me to preach to thousands. I was stuck up in a little corner in the state of Michigan. There are preachers here. Preachers all over this country, if they would tip their hat and salute this man today, they'd have to say he's responsible for the measure of their success of their ministry. I was with Jack Wood here some time back. Jack said, I wasn't even heard of. Nobody even knew me until I met Carl Lackey. And that is the truth. And I could go down the list of a lot of others that are out in the front lines now doing great things for God. But his shadow, this great apostle to the Appalachians, crossed our path, influenced us. I'm saying with all of my thoughts that I've given to this, he reminds me of Barnabas. Barnabas in the Bible, that was a wonderful friend of Paul, and they traveled in their missionary journeys together. Really, are you listening? Paul wouldn't have hardly got off the ground had not been for Barnabas. They were afraid of him because he had been killing all these Christians, and when he got saved, nobody believed that he was, they thought it was a trick or something. But Barnabas, wonderful Barnabas, said, oh, he's fine, he's converted, and he kind of opened the door to the brethren, and from that he got started preaching, and the greatest preacher that ever preached, I suppose, the greatest missionary, the greatest Christian outside of Jesus Christ was that. And but see, Brother Carl, I refer back to him, you'll have to just let me reminisce and let me just say what's in my heart. He had insight, and he could see the potential and the value of men to encourage them on. I all of you have heard of Tim Lee, that he's had a wonderful ministry. But this man here is really the foundation of that man's ministry. I can remember when Tim used to come on the platform with his artificial legs. Carl said, get those legs off you, boy, and sit in that wheelchair and preach. And it turned that man into something else. I can say it all over, and I know that many of you here today would say, truly, my life is different because this man's shadow has crossed my path. He's opened the hearts of his heart to my own personal fellowship. He's confided and told me things that probably never told any other human being. I found the depths of this man, and I don't know how some of you may feel about him. I know he's been terribly criticized and ostracized and everything else over the years, but I never found him to be dishonest one time. I can put my trust in somebody that's honest. I can't believe liars, but I can believe somebody like Carl Lackey. He first cast a shadow across my life in a little place called Withville, Virginia, Brother Love. Brother Love was pastor there at that time, and Carl was holding a meeting, and we all went up there to hear him preach. Went out of Michigan, came up there, and he preached that night, tore up the television. You wouldn't believe he'd preach against television, would you? But he preached against television, and that was the first time I'd ever really been confronted with it. That was 30 years ago. That night I was the only person that went forward, but I gave up my television that night. Devil told me, buddy, you're going in for trouble now. You're in for trouble now. Your family will all desert you, and your wife will desert you, and you're going to ruin your life by what you did tonight. He's a liar. Devil's a liar. I'll tell you, he's a liar. Carl made a prophecy that night. I was standing right in the pulpit. He made a prophecy. He said, I prophesy that you'll hear of Don Green and his life and his ministry and his family from this night on. And it was the changing turnabout in my life. I know you don't want to hear it. I'm not here to preach against television. But since that day, my children, all of them, God called every one of them into the Lord's work. The devil told me that I'd lose them all. He's a liar. I tell you the truth, he's a liar. But he opened my eyes to that. And he opened his arms to my family, my boy, Tim, sitting here, my daughter and her husband sitting here, Jim and his wife are here today. My son Steve's on a mission trip to Mexico. He was so sorry he couldn't be here. He just cried. My boy's in Nova Scotia. My other boy is taking care of my church so I could come. But my family loved this man. They loved Brother Lackey. He just opened up his arms to everybody, I suppose. I felt like I was a part of the family. I feel like I'm a part of this church. He called me his mother-in-law. That's pretty close. Get close to the mother-in-law. Of course, Terry married Koontz, married into our family with Jimmy. And he said, what does that make Brother Green? He must make him my mother-in-law. So I got stuck with that. And every time he'd call me, he'd say, is this my mother-in-law? I'm just saying, it's just Lackey was really cast a shadow across my children's life, and they love and honor and respect him today. Not only that, he opened up his pocketbook and helped us financially, helped my children in the Lord's work. He's helped how many? Just like did your brother said, he helped this one go to do this and do that and go here and go there. And he was a very generous man. I never been around anybody like him, unselfish. We were over in Memphis. I believe Brother Perko, we were heading for to make the movie. We met at the airport there, and we were coming in from there, and we stopped to look at some Greyhound buses. And he said, boy, I'd like to buy that bus. And I said, I looked at it, and I said, I like it too. Oh, he backed right off. He said, if you want it, Brother Green, you take it. Just like that. I said, well, I have not in a position to buy it. Appreciate your generosity, but he went ahead. I say that he just opened up our understanding, and he opened up the Word of God and helped us all to keep straight. And he opened up seemingly his entire life to all of those around about him. It's no wonder that he was a hero to us. All of us here today have been touched by his life. His shadow is one way or another come across our lives. We've been touched by the power of a dedicated life, by the power of the gospel he preached, by the power of the Word of God, that good old King James Bible, the power of a Spirit of God that was upon him, the power of the influence of a faithful man of God, and the power of a prayer in his life, and the power of God on his ministry. Brother Lackey was practical. Right down to earth. He was personal in that he cared. He was persistent. He knew what he wanted. He was pure, as far as I know, morally. He was a pillar of strength. He was a prevailing influence. He was a precious friend. He's cast a large shadow across all of our lives. I'm going to make these few final comments by saying to the ones that are the most fortunate here this afternoon are the people who knew him best. And we've got a lot of wonderful things going for us. We've got a hope, a wonderful hope. We've got a blessed hope. We have the hope of the resurrection. We have the hope of our Lord said, I go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't that a blessed hope today? Amen. We have that anchor that Paul gave to us. I just love it. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall all be changed, and this mortal put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's a blessed hope today. We care. Oh, no, really, the wars may, and rumors of wars may come. But down in our soul is buried that blessed hope today. That's been in the lives of all of God's fearing people from time immemorial. Way back in the Old Testament, the patriarch Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and though after the earthworms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I mean, we got that hope. And I know you're all sorrowful as I am. My tears roll and yours do too, but we've got our Bible. We can carry that home with us today. We're going to carry him out to the cemetery in a few moments, but we can carry our Bible back with us to the house. We can break it open and read anywhere we want to some 32,000 promises that'll anchor our soul during these days of sorrow. We've got a faithful God that we can pray to for comfort and for help. I never will forget Sister Black. After you'd lost your daughter, and Brother and Sister Black were dear friends of mine, Paul said that when they would be traveling down the road, he'd look over there and Irene would be a-crying. He'd say, what's the matter? I'm just thinking about our baby we just lost. 23-year-old daughter. And maybe they'd be going a little farther and Paul would be crying. And she said, what's the matter, Paul? Well, I'm just thinking about Janet, wasn't that her name? He said, Brother Green, it comes in like waves. After I lost my wife, he took me aside. Paul said to me, he said, Brother Green, I'll tell you how you conquer this thing, how you get over this thing. He said, if you just, whatever that waves, and sometimes the waves seem so big it almost knock you down. Maybe the next one will come in just a little bit slower, but the next one might come up even bigger and seem like just one wave after the other. There was sorrow coming grieving over your soul. But he said, I found if you just kind of get away someplace and pray, it'll just dissipate. And that's exactly what happens. I'm saying this to you, dear family, today. You've got a blessed hope, and you've got a Bible, and you got prayer, and you got a host of friends, and you can see them here today. You've got your family, and how sweet a family. There couldn't be in a sweeter family than this family. And really, I'm telling you, you've got the Holy Spirit's there to comfort you. But I'll tell you something that atomic bomb can never take away. Take away Carl, but they can't take away the blessed memories, the precious memories, the sweet memories that'll be there forever until you die yourself. Hallelujah for Jesus. And beyond all that, that blessed hope of seeing each other again. I want to say to this immediate family, you are honored with having such a heritage, such a legacy of being a member of the family of Carl T. Lackey. It's greater than being a relative to a president of the United States. Greater than perhaps even of a ruling monarch or some king or potentate is to say, I am related to Carl Lackey. To the church at White Plains, I want to tell you a great big thanks from my heart And I'm sure that all of these friends of Brother Lackey that are not members here at White Plains want to thank you, dear people, for taking care of our friend like you've taken care of our friend. I mean, you showed him love. You haven't shoved him out the door. I really appreciate that. I really thank you for taking care of his physical needs. I know Miss Jenkins has been right there, and also Miss Stacy Lawrence has been right there, and I know that Sister Melcher has been there, and his brothers run all over the country, back and forth 1,000 times, I suppose, and you men, other men stayed there all night, and women came in to help, and you've just been so wonderful. I want to just thank you and thank you and thank you. As his friend, I thank you for taking such wonderful good care of my dear brother Lackey. You treated him with respect and dignity and given him an honorary, you call him honorary pastor. I know that you will not miss your reward in heaven for being so kind to this dear man. I know that, again, all of our lives have been enriched by him. If you don't mind, now I don't want to be lengthy and I'm not, but I wrote a little poem in connection with their brother Lackey's death, and I'm going to read it and give a little invitation and we'll be through. Carl, what have you got to show for these 50 years? Besides a lot of heartaches, toils, and tears. There's been misunderstandings and misgivings too. Difficulties and disappointments, not a few. However, you've had victories galore. And people saved and salvaged for the Lord. And his blessings on your ministry have been outpoured. You really couldn't complain, never, no, never. For it appears he's blessed your ever endeavor. There have been workers sent out of this place to all parts of the world, carrying Christ's bloodstained banner unfurled. You've been at the bedside of the sick and the accident-torn, and been there to bless many a baby as they were born. You've rejoiced with parents as their children were wed, yet wept with the others as they buried their dead. You've helped cheer those who have lost their song, and rebuked some others when they've done wrong. You've done your best to calm many folks' fears as you labored with these people for these many years. Here in White Plains, you and Jewel have invested your life. Now in heaven, it's paying dividends to you and your wife. Now these 50 years have not been a bed of roses, and I'm sure that many times you felt like Moses, for there have been murmurs and backbiters too, who like a serpent their venom did spew. But Carl, after you've considered the good to the bad, a better 50 years a preacher never had. Brother Lackey, now that your home going has taken place and you're there rejoicing around the throne of grace, I'm sure now you know what you have to show for these 50 years here. You've got the smile of your Savior who you love so dear. For whether or not from all men on earth you received a nod, you now have what you really wanted, and that's a well done from God. All of us here and all of you have witnessed this man's life. Someone might be inspired, I don't know, by this message and these messages and these songs today to consecrate your life to God, to come out from the world and be separate unto God, to covet God's best gift for your life and be filled with the Spirit of God, to courageously fight the good fight of faith, perhaps somehow to be challenged to pick up the mantle and fill in the ranks of this soldier that's died. Maybe someone even today would be called into the Lord's work. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I would imagine, I was talking to Betty Payne, I said, how many preachers would you estimate has gone out of this church? Missionaries and one thing or another. She said, well, I don't know. How would you know? Oh, I said, it'd been 50, it'd been 100. Well, she said, I would say pretty close to 100, maybe more than 100. Over the years that have gone out into the Lord's work, what a wonderful, wonderful testimony of a man's ministry. But maybe somebody today, what a wonderful memorial service would be if you'd come down here and lay your hands on this casket and say, by the grace of God, I will preach the gospel. I'll fill in the ranks that are left by this soldier that's died. If you'd be careful somehow or other to, you'd like to come and say, I'd like to finish my course as he's finished his course. I'd like to keep the faith. I think about Carl, you fought a good fight. You have finished your course. You have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness. And you have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of heaven. I tell you today, a mighty prince has fallen. A great soldier of the cross has passed on. One of God's choicest vessels has been taken home. I wonder if somebody would be interested in picking up the mantle. I wonder if there'd be a preacher sitting over here or some other young people over here that would say, I'd like to have the mantle of Carl Lackey. I wonder if there's some would say, I'd like to consecrate this day, my life, unto God. I think three things that he stressed more than anything else in his preaching was get saved, get right, and stay right. Wouldn't you say that's about it? What a memorial service this would be if I could see somebody come down here and trust Christ as your Savior. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. I wonder back through this place here today if there'd be someone say, Brother Green, I would covet the mantle of this man. Is there someone, there's one right there. Is there someone else say, I would like the mantle of this man. There's another back there. There's another there and another there. Is there someone else to say, I'd like to have what? Yes, there's another. Would somebody else say, yes, and another, and another? Somebody else say, that's me. Yes, and another there, and another there, and another there, and another back there. I'd like to have that power of God. I'd like to be greatly used of God. I'd like to have that determination to live holy and godly in the midst of a wicked, ungodly world. There'd be, yes, another back there. I wonder if there'd be some here this morning, this afternoon, that would say, I'm not a Christian, but join with the hands raising of these others and said, I've never really been saved, but I'd like to be. What a memorial service this would be if you'd get saved today. It'd be the greatest. Oh, it'd be the greatest day of your life, and you could refer back, I got saved at Carl Lackey's funeral. Is there someone here this day that would say, I'm not a Christian, or I don't know for sure that I am, and I'd like to make that certain today? Is there someone like that back through there at all? Anyone at all? Raise your hand. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to single you out. Nobody's going to drag you down the aisle. But I know Carl would want you to. This is what he would want. I'm sure it is. Is there someone else? Would there somebody that raise your hand and say, I'm not a Christian, but I'd like to be? Is there someone backslid on God and say, I'm not what I ought to be. I've got cold on God. And I need to get back to God. Could I see your hand? Would you raise it up? Just raise it up right there. God bless you. Listen, I'm talking to you. Would you raise your hand? Say, I'm a Christian,
but I'm cold on God. I'm not what I could be or should be. I'd like to see you come down here and lay your hand on this man's casket and say, by the grace of God, I am going to live for God and serve the Lord. I have failed him, but I'm going to come. Is there somebody else? Let's all stand together just for a moment. Father, I love you more than life itself. I don't know exactly what's in the hearts and minds of souls of people, but there are a host of people that raised their hand here this morning. I noticed a lot of preachers that said, oh, I would like the touch of God on my life, the power, the anointing of God. And I pray that they'd get out of their seat, come down here, lay their hand on this man's casket this morning. There's others that need to come today and give themselves afresh to God. Some need to get saved. Some of this family really need to come clean and come out and stand out for God. I pray your will be done, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just lay your hand right there on that casket and kneel down there and pray. There's others to come. Just come. Just come. I know that we're not going to embarrass anybody. I appreciate that, boy. Somebody else, yes, God bless you and you and you. Don't be embarrassed to do this. This is nothing embarrassing. It's show some character and desire. Is there someone else today? Come, need to get close to God. Oh, I know he's a dead man. I remember an incident in the Old Testament where they put a body down on an old dead man, an old dead prophet, and he sat right up and was marvelously raised from the dead. There's power. The influence of this man will continue on for years and years and years to come. Is there someone else would like to come? Could we just sing one verse or something or another? Go ahead. Go ahead.
As I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. I want to thank the family, and I want to thank all of you dear sweet people, this church and the pastor, for allowing me to come and express my thoughts today to you in this memorial service for my dearest friend. And may God bless this church in the days to come and give it old-fashioned Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, devil-killing revival. Pastor, whatever.
We say it won't happen. must see. Some know it's drawing nigh. They are fearing their time to die. If they could see heaven shore, fear would bother them no more. No more die. To feel death's cold hand, no more pain or agony will ever take hold of me. There to sing amazing grace to the one. Be parted for a little while, making life seem like a trial. But as the children are gone, together golden streets we'll trod. Oh, how sad it would be to be parted for eternity. Sinner, listen for his call, for Jesus gave you his all. No more dying in that land, no more to take hold of me, there to sing.